I am a parent with a six-year-old at home, currently in grade one, and currently learning how to read. So there's plenty of phonics in my household. Kaz skipped on the broom. Taz jumped. It reminds me of my Kathy and Mark days. Come see, skip, run, cat on mat type of stuff. That is the phonics that is seen as the traditional way of teaching children how to read. And we know that basic literacy among children in South Africa has declined in recent years. 81% of grade 4 learners in South Africa can't read for meeting. It's a similar case in the UK. In 2022-2023, 30% of five-year-olds in England were not meeting the expected standard for literacy at the end of their first year of schooling. So there's a study that was conducted by a group of researchers based out of Lancaster University who argues that phonics, the traditional way of teaching children to read, is simply not working. But how do we do that? How do we improve reading levels? It's maybe to start with a love for storytelling first. Joining me now, Professor Willem Holman, Professor of Linguistics at Lancaster University. Very similar situation here in South Africa. Willem, thanks so much for joining us. But the method that I learned to read, and many people have learned to read in the English language world, is what we know as traditional phonics. The cat sat on the at. You argue it isn't necessarily the best way to inculcate reading into a child's life. Good morning, Willem.
Good morning, Lester. It's very nice to be here. Thank you. I guess the first thing to say is that phonics is quite a broad term. So it encompasses a number of approaches to the teaching of reading, all of which have to do with correspondences between letters and sounds. And so the particular issue that we raise in relation to phonics education is an approach whereby synthetic phonics is emphasized. And synthetic phonics is really the approach where you try to read a word by looking at its individual sounds and sounding those out and then sort of blending them together. So the word cat, the example you just gave, you would go k-a-t, cat, right? There's other sort of phonics based approaches. So there's also within phonics, there's also so-called analytic phonics. And in analytic phonics, what you would do is you would tell a child, here's a word, this word means cat. And you show them the word. And they then sort of get them to work out that the k sound corresponds to the C, that the a sound corresponds to the A, and the t sounds corresponds to the T. So it's kind of going at it in you kind of the other way around. And I think traditionally, also when I think about the way in which I learned to speak Dutch, you know, I'm from the Netherlands originally, is you probably use a bit of both, to be honest, as well as a number of other strategies. So certainly when I learned to read, there was quite a lot of emphasis on actually sort of trying to understand the story. And, you know, if you have a sentence that says the cat sat on the, and you're struggling with mat, what kind of words, suppose you know what the M, you've got the M and you're struggling with the at bit. What kind of words could occur there? And then maybe look at the image, right? Is there an image of a cat sitting on a mat? So drawing on various kind of clues from the context and then sort of trying to work out, what the words are. So there's a range of different techniques, a child could potentially be encouraged to draw on. And I actually suspect that as a parent, you might well be doing that. And I guess what we're saying in this article is an approach that really, that focuses so much on synthetic phonics. It's kind of the pendulum, having swung a little bit too far one direction.
Explain briefly in how the mechanics of sound memorization works with the mechanics of one's mouth and how that melds with creating a concept and an understanding in one's head when trying to read. My layman's terms, you are memorizing the mechanics of certain sounds to match certain letters, and you then create the picture of that word with the object in your brain all at the same time.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good explanation. I guess one sort of challenge here is that if we look at English, those correspondences between those sounds and the letters are often not particularly direct, not particularly predictable, compared to, for example, Afrikaans, actually, which is a more phonetic or alphabetic, you know, linguists use different term, kind of language, where the relation between the letters and the sounds is more predictable. So if you take English, the English letter S, right, in simple, that sounds as S. In his or in does, it sounds as Z. In sugar, it sounds like sh. In decision, it sounds like je. In aisle, you don't hear it at all. Now, that's five different realizations for just one letter. That's something that in Afrikaans, you don't get so much. And so for a language like Afrikaans, actually, a synthetic phonics is probably a slightly better starting point. That's not to say we shouldn't use it in English. We think you should use it. But there are particular challenges that make it possibly even more important to also draw on other strategies.
And I'll speak a lot on my particular experiences with a six-year-old. The level of there's a frustration on my side, and there's a frustration of on the child when the meeting of that particular word and sound to a letter and sound to create a word offers a very, very big chance of frustration and a lack of enthusiasm. You saying this could lead to the lack of enjoyment of storytelling, of actually reading, and that the way that we're going about it offers this opportunity for actually young children to be discouraged from enjoying reading and storytelling.
Yeah, that's right. And another factor in there is the texts that are typically used in a synthetic phonics first and foremost approach. So what advocates of this approach often do is they promote the use of so-called decodable books. And decodable books, and you may have some at home, you know, your child may bring them home from school, are books that are deliberately written to only contain a very limited number of letter sound correspondences. And so let me read something out to you. And, you know, here's a few lines from an actual decodable book. Tim tips it. Tim taps it. Sam sits in. Tim nips in. Sam tips it. Yeah. So this is,
that's not a story. That is not something that is going to necessarily inspire the wonder of imagination in a 6 year old's brain.
Precisely. Yeah. So this is a decodable text that's designed to contain only 8 sounds. And I'm not criticizing the authors. This is a really hard thing to do. But if you compare that to an authentic children's story, you know, we're going on a bear hunt. We're going to catch a big one. What a beautiful day. We're not scared. Oh, grass, right? That's, you can see, you know, that has a large number of sound letter correspondences. But, you know, because the author is allowed to be more creative there, you get a far more engaging story. And so children's early experiences with those decodable texts, we believe may not be setting them up for sort of great enjoyment of reading at a later age. And there's some statistics from the UK that suggest that over half of children between 8 and 18 years old don't actually enjoy reading, and that's a bit worrying.
Yeah, I'm not the expert here, but in my household, I'm trying to augment what we get from school as homework with also trips to the library, other storytelling methods, other stories, different subjects as well, to have the phonetic learning of reading, but also with the storytelling. It's the introduction of other texts as well, which I think would work here.
That's right. That's absolutely right. Yes. And some children respond better to sort of non-fiction texts, you know, information texts about animals, about nature, for example, about sports, you know, about history. So I think it's important to sort of try a wide range of texts and reading to children. And again, it's, you know, we're not saying that reading out stories, genuine stories to children, doesn't happen in schools with a synthetic phonics first and foremost approach, but they tend to separate that activity and call that an English lesson as opposed to a phonics lesson. Yeah. And what we're saying is integrate it all into, you know, it's all about English or Dutch or Afrikaans or what have you. You know, it's all part of becoming literate. The good stories are not separate from phonics, or should, in our view, not be separate from phonics.
Really appreciated Professor Willem Holman's article on the Conversations website. Really appreciate your time. Thanks so much for joining us.